Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Once again, it's a pleasure to welcome the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra to our studios. All 80 of them are here in the studio with me. No, that's not really true. But the important guy, Benjamin Vickers, is here. Welcome back, Ben.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I'm not any more important than the other 80, but thank you.
Well, that's very humble of you, but you are the guy out front.
I am the guy out front.
The music director, I believe, is your title.
That's right.
And that's because you direct the music.
That's all true.
And nobody else does.
I can't deny that. That's true.
All right. You brought a special guest with you today. And this is a featured performer in your next concert. And Catherine Winterstein is here. Nice to have you, Catherine.
Very nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
Catherine, it says here that you're a violinist. That means you play the violin.
That's true. So far true, yes.
Okay. And you've been doing that for a while, right?
Yes.
More than 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I started a couple more years than that. I started when I was 4, so now that means I've been playing for 40 years.
Wow.
For 14 years?
40. 40. But go for 14. Sure.
Wait a minute.
Let's say I'm 14. I'd say I'm 18 years old.
14.
I look 18.
14 was a shock, but even more of a shock is the other way.
Oh, yes, 40. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, yeah.
Thanks for being shocked.
I'm right behind you there.
I brought my 79 other personalities with us.
All right. Well, if you go to the NABSCO, as it's called, website, Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra website, you will see a beautiful picture of Catherine there, kind of giving a Hollywood pose.
Yeah, well, you know, a girl has to turn it out sometimes.
Right.
Now, good photographer.
Very good photographer. And yep. You're going to be appearing at McVinnie Auditorium with the orchestra, and we'll get into all of that. But let's get a little bit more information about you. We know everything there is to know about Ben because he's been here a lot.
Yeah, but, well, you know, open book. Open book, Ben.
Open book.
But you are not from Rhode Island.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that.
We still let you talk once in a while, but not for too long.
Right. Customs is not so bad getting over the border anymore.
From Massachusetts at this point?
Yes.
And whereabouts?
I live in Boston.
In the Boston area. Yes. Okay. And you play the violin more than once a day, I bet.
I play the violin. They're all the same hat. They're all the violin hat. But I play the violin in a lot of different ensembles in Boston and Rhode Island. And I sort of consider all of New England my work home. So I work in, I play in Rhode Island a lot in the Philharmonic and an ensemble called the Aurea Ensemble, and I teach at Brown University.
I know where Brown University is.
You've heard of it?
I've heard of that. Yeah.
It's a very nice school.
We had Jeb Bush there the other week speaking.
Oh, yeah.
He came and he knocked on my door, wanted to stay. I said I didn't have room.
I had no room at the end. Yeah, no, he would be an unusual guest room. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway. I have a nice chunk of things that I do in Rhode Island, which I love. And then in Boston, I am... Actually, along with Charles Dimmick, who is concertmaster of the Rhode Island Philharmonic here in Providence, I am co-concertmaster of the Boston Pops Esplanade Orchestra with him in Boston, and I play in several groups in Boston. Sometimes I also play Baroque violin and the Handel and Haydn Society, and I play opera and modern music and old music and chamber music as much as I can fit in, and I'm the concertmaster of the Vermont Symphony as well, so I drive north a bit, and I have... This will be my 17th summer at a chamber music festival in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, which I do for 6 weeks in the summer.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm glad you were speaking fast because
I'm good. Yeah, sorry.
You know,
about
we wanted to get that all.
I'm very efficient. Efficient.
All right,
that was my resume. How was it?
That's great. So Vermont is one place that you spend a lot of time in. Mm-hmm. So teaching at Brown, what exactly? Is that like a one-day-a-week gig? Is that occasional? How does
so
that
I teach individual lessons and I coach chamber music, which means that the schedule varies a little bit dependent on my student schedule and my own and how we can fit them together. But so right now it's parts of 2 days a week right now, which I love. The students are fantastic. They're such interesting people and wonderful students. So, yep. But right now, this semester turned out to be 2 days a week. Sometimes it's one. It varies a little bit semester to semester.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, Ben, we're going to let you go. Catherine and I are going to have a whole show to ourselves.
No, it's great to hear all about
as early as this has been.
Your career, everything you're doing is so much more interesting than what I do.
No. But I don't wave a stick.
That's right. So you have the big stick and you use it. So let's talk a little bit about the orchestra. You just finished a very successful season starting last October and had a concert then at McVinnie Auditorium and then a December concert and a March concert and all kinds of things have happened this year.
We have had a very good season so far. All of the concerts have been musical successes, so I need to find something wooden to knock on here. We won't jinx that, but the most recent concert since I was here last was the Afternoon at the Opera concert, which was in McVinnie and was on March 4th, and which was just kind of a showcase of overtures from opera and arias and involved like five soloists and it was quite a fun afternoon. We have a little something to play from that concert when we get to that. With the overture with which we started was the Verdi overture to Nabucco, which is...
I had that to drink one time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's delicious. Yeah. It's a famous...
Piedmont wine, Northern Italy.
it's a great overture that got that concert started off in a very lively way, as it needed to, because I think it was a very cold day. If I recall, but anyway, that was a great way to start that concert and turned out wonderfully.
Excellent. So, I just want to give people the details because we have a lot of music to listen to today.
We do.
So I just want to make sure that they get the details about this next concert, which is going to be Sunday, June 10th at 3 p.m. at McVinnie Auditorium.
It is, and I've been directed to say it many times, actually going to be at 1 p.m. now.
Oh.
That is something that was on our old materials, and it certainly was going to be at 3 p.m., but it's wonderful that...
I'm glad I mentioned
it. It's wonderful that you mentioned it because I can say, and we've been reminding everybody every week that it's now at 1 p.m. We needed to move it a little earlier because of various things, one of which is a graduation event right near there where the venue is going to be busy and the parking is going to be busy and all that. So 1 p.m.
Happy to be reminded of that as well.
Yes, we all need to be. 3 p.m. is a customary time for a Sunday concert, but this one will have to be at 1.
Well, for those of you that haven't been to McVinnie Auditorium, I've had the privilege of producing some shows there myself, and it's a great venue, a great, as we say, creature comforts for the audience. It's not a bad seat in the house, and it's a beautiful stage, and free parking.
Yes, and we love playing there. They've been wonderful to work with, the staff at McVinnie. So we
all right, Chris Donovan and all the people there. A little shout out to them and how they're doing. And Catherine, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. They have a huge stars dressing room.
We love that. Does it have an actual star on the door?
Sometimes it's called a conference room. But other than that,
that's fine. I'll have a conference with myself before.
Well, let's get to this piece of music. And I do want to tell people if they want to listen and check things out, they can go to nabsco.org, which is the website for the orchestra, and you can get details about the concert. And Ben, I think you've already described the piece, but one more time.
Sure. It's one of the overtures by Verdi to an opera which can actually be played by itself. It's one of the pieces that, of which, as many operas as he wrote, there are not many where the overture doesn't segue directly into the action of Act One, whatever the case may be. So this is a complete overture that you can play by Verdi from his sort of early. It is an early Verdi opera, so it is just filled with wonderful tunes. One of which is you may know the chorus "Va pensiero," "Go my thoughts," which is the song that the slaves sing. The Hebrew slaves who were enslaved by the king.
You're kind of looking at me like I would know this.
The Nabucco. I can never say his Nebu. Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, you're catching
Nebuchadnezzar.
That's the king.
Okay,
Nabucco. Right. I like how they call him in Italian better. Yeah. It's shorter.
It is better.
All right.
But this is that overture.
We will listen to that, then take a short break, and be back with more of the Catherine and Ben Show.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and I'm sitting with Ben and Catherine. We're talking about the upcoming performance at McVinnie Auditorium, which is going to be Sunday, June 10th at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
Yeah, not 3 o'clock, as yes. it used to
Don't
be advertised.
Don't even say it. Don't even say the 3.
Yeah, right.
And it's the orchestra is going to be playing music.
We will.
We just heard something before the commercial break from your last performance, and now we're talking about the future, so we probably won't be listening to your orchestra playing these next pieces. We'll be listening to another group.
That's right. We have not played them yet. The next concert will be, as you just said, on June 10th at 1 p.m. Thank you for
1 p.m.
saying
1 p.m.
that. Right. We had another special concert in between, the chamber concert. Which was, what date was it?
That was on Sunday, April 8th, and that was at 3 p.m.
That was at 3 p.m.
And that was at the Carter Center, which is where the Rhode Island Philharmonic has their headquarters.
Has their headquarters, and we also rehearse there, and we give concerts there, like the chamber concert, and we had that featured members of our orchestra in playing solos, playing duets, playing mm-hmm. quartets. We had a Mendelssohn string quintet, which was kind of the big chunk of music on that concert. So that's something we're always very proud of. And
now you mentioned rehearsing there.
Yes.
Is that something that happens every week?
It is every Monday night from 7 to 9:30. And it's in the large rehearsal hall at the Rhode Island Philharmonic.
Is that open so people can go there and throw things at you?
Offices. Yes, try not to throw things, but you certainly can. People are always welcome to drop in and see what we're doing
so
at rehearsal.
So
try not to throw things.
Yeah. Every Monday night I can go there and I can see Catherine playing the violin.
That's right.
For the next few weeks.
We'll have Catherine.
Okay.
Since she's a soloist joining us, she'll be there. And we'll be there as well.
Now, Catherine, when you get asked to appear with a group like this, do you take references if you're not familiar with the group? In other words, have you ever heard the orchestra before you say yes?
Oh, actually, I will say I have not heard this orchestra, but I have heard about it from its members occasionally, and I'm very excited. I was very excited to do it. I love this concerto, and I've never played it before, and it's a great opportunity for me as well, so I'm just excited.
So this is kind of a reference thing, not necessarily...
Right. Know, oh, yes, yeah. I suppose you could put, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I wondered sometimes how that works for soloists, because frequently as a performer, I'll get asked to appear someplace and have no idea where I'm going or why.
True. Then you just look at Google.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, and I'll say we asked you just on the basis of your being one of the co-concert masters of the Rhode Island Philharmonic.
Oh, sorry, I'm associate in Rhode Island.
Yeah. You've been associate in Rhode Island and Vermont, and we just know your reputation here very strongly. So that was we said we should really ask you.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
So again, this is done by reputation versus actually hearing a performance.
Sometimes it's yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes we basically that went something like we got in touch and we said, would you be available for one of the concert dates? And then from there was just like a question of, well, what would you like to play? And Catherine said the Shostakovich concerto, and we said, fine, we always have done that. whatever that means logistically, when I'm very much interested in that and just letting mm-hmm. People play whatever they'd like to play with us, unless it's totally unfeasible and involves a large chorus or something,
right,
which would be very hard to put. Yeah, strange orchestration.
Yeah.
But so this seems something that the orchestra would really enjoy, a challenge for us all, and it's turned out to be, and I think it's going to be a great collaboration. It's a very challenging piece, the Shostakovich Violin Concerto.
It's also really, it's an interesting scoring.
Yes.
I don't mean to leap right into this necessarily, but it's it actually doesn't, for instance, it doesn't have trumpets or trombones, which is odd, and I'm sorry because I like trumpets and trombones. Sorry for them, but it's also in four movements instead of three as a typical concerto. So it sort of has the scope of a symphonic work, but also has the intimacy of a chamber music piece. And a lot of it is sort of light in the scoring. So they're like the opening of the second movement is just the solo violin and flute and bass clarinet. So there are moments where it's quite delicate actually, and then moments where it's huge and full, like a full symphony would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a great description. Shall we get to some more music before we take
our
next break?
We thought what would be great is to play, as Catherine said, the structure of the concerto is a little bit unusual in that it has four movements. The third and fourth movements are kind of linked by a long cadenza. So the Catherine's favorite movement is the third, I believe.
Yeah, it's hard to say pick a favorite, but I shouldn't say favorite.
Right, yeah.
But the third movement, which is, it's a passacaglia, it's a slow movement. It's really the emotional heart of the concerto.
Yes.
So there's a the first two movements, it's again atypical. The first movement is a slow movement that's very melancholy. It's called a nocturne in this case, which is also very unusual for concerto to open that way. Then the second movement is a very kind of almost brittle scherzo that's scary. That's a typical Shostakovich, very, it's all the reasons we love Shostakovich, the second movement.
Sarcastic, yeah, and sardonic.
Exactly. Yeah. And and then the third movement is then this passacaglia, which is it has the same bass line repeated over and over throughout, which is a very, Shostakovich loved this vehicle for expressive reasons. It means there are a lot of varying melodic meanderings all the way through the movement, and then the movement morphs into a really extended cadenza for the solo violin, which is also a really unusual cadenza, because where most cadenzas, you know, typically in a romantic concerto are luxurious, this one is it's almost unrelenting, actually. So I was there as I was listening. I don't know if you, I was listening to it and it struck me that it actually sounds like someone who's imprisoned. It sounds like someone who's beating against the
cadenza in a straitjacket,
yeah,
kind of.
And then it does break free at the end, and then you end up in the last movement is what happens.
Yeah.
But it is a, I also read that this piece was written for Oistrakh, David Oistrakh, who's one of my favorite violinists of all time anyway. I tend to like anything that was written for him, and I tend to always love his performances of them as well. And apparently, because he was in on the creation of this piece, he begged Shostakovich for a breather at the opening of the last movement, because the cadenza and the previous things are such a concentration sap. You know, he's like, please, please, God, for the love of God, you know, give me a break. You know? So there is a break at that point.
Right, for the orchestra solo plays. You'll hear all, yeah, of that. We couldn't separate these two movements from one another, just because I tried to think how we could do it, and I said, well, we really should just try to make time to play them both together if we can. So this will be the passacaglia, which Catherine described, the cadenza, which links them, and then the last movement, which is more of the sardonic, kind of sarcastic, burlesque style.
All, yeah, the right, last movement is just, it's all caution is thrown to the wind by then.
Right.
We will do the best we can, and then take a short break.
It's a long piece, but thank you.
Be back with more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Once again, we are back with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. And Ben and Catherine are here. Catherine is going to be the guest violinist at the performance on Sunday, June 10th at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. We've got that straight now. If you haven't been listening to the rest of the program, want to make sure you know it's 1 o'clock one on o'clock. Sunday at McVinney Auditorium in beautiful downtown Providence, where they have free parking. And that's something to take into consideration. You go to some of those other downtown theaters, and you might pay $10, $15, $20, $25 for parking. Mm-hmm. So it's a little advantage there. And it's a beautiful auditorium, beautiful space. And make sure you get out and support the orchestra. Catherine, I want to thank you for coming in this evening and bringing your incredible knowledge and talents to the program.
Thank you for having me. I don't know if we call any of those things incredible knowledge. Oh, yeah. But anyway, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm sure it will be a wonderful performance, and we're kind of wrapping up a little bit soon because we've listened to quite a bit of music this evening, and we've got another piece yet to go. But I want both of you to just say a little bit about what we're about to hear.
What we're about to hear is the piece accompanying the concerto on the program. That's the Schumann Symphony No. 2, which is a longish symphony by Schumann. It is all about mania, various kinds of mania. It was kind of a therapy piece for Schumann to write this. You'll hear in the first movement, it's a very Beethoven-esque piece. First of all, there's a motto which comes back to represent the whole Beethoven idea of facing fate and triumphing over fate in the end. That's one. It's working on that level. At the other level, it's just different levels of obsession. The first movement is rhythmically obsessed with this dotted rhythm, this yum da da dee 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 da dum da da, that just goes on and on and on forever.
I have to just jump in. What you're saying also about Schumann as this piece is a therapy piece and his obsessive nature is not actually metaphorical. Schumann was a bit unbalanced, pardon me, and I think, I don't know, I can't remember if we would have called, like nowadays, we would call him what is bipolar, I think.
I think that's right. We would today he probably would be bipolar diagnosed.
Yeah. And he worked through a lot of that in his music.
Absolutely. That's perfectly true. He had names for his two personalities, Florestan and Eusebius, right? Mm-hmm. So that's always going on with Schumann. The first movement is that kind of obsession he was working through. The second movement, which is a famous perpetual motion scherzo for only the first violins.
Yes, if there are any violinists listening, I have to warn you that it's a little trigger warning. So we'll all have PTSD from this move. That's the scherzo of this symphony is a thing that violinists have to learn. And we are almost always required to play it in auditions. And so most of us associate it with auditions. Just saying. I'm fine over here in my corner now. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's a famous piece, which is a tricky, very tricky first violin part. The violinists in our orchestra have done a great job learning it. It was the thing that I think in past years might have prevented us from playing the piece, to just say, I don't know if we should try that. But this year we tried it, and it's really going quite well. So that's a great thing for us to be able to say. The third movement is very ahead of its time, romantic, romanza. You know, it's a true romantic expressive movement on the proportions of movements of symphonies that come from much later in the 19th century. In range, the violin parts go very high, the harmonies go very far afield, it's very advanced. The last movement kind of works all these problems out and resolves that issue of the fanfare from the beginning of the piece that I said, and it ends triumphantly, and he won, you know, this battle with his condition, as Catherine described, which was it was a therapy piece in literal terms for him. So it's a very interesting piece to balance the Shostakovich, because you're kind of getting two symphonies here, two works that are on the symphonic scale. That's why there are only two works on the program, but it's these two.
All right. Well, get out and support the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. You can see Catherine in person, and after the concert, for $100, you can get an autograph from Catherine.
But probably for much less.
All right.
You can get a bargain on it.
An 8x10 glossy of Ben. All those things could be available.
Yeah.
You never know what could
and
happen.
And free parking.
And what time is the concert?
I think it's at 1. Did we say
1 p.m.
1 p.m. All right. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Listen to this piece. And then the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.